I'll just share a few more little thoughts from the first letter of Peter, which we've been working through. Let me just read you a little bit. This is 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, which are all local places, I think. That was a joke, forget it. We have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. It's kept for you in heaven, you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed on the last day. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of different trials. These have come so that your faith, which is worth more than gold, even though gold is refined by the fire, it still perishes. But these have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you, Lord, are our teacher. We ask you to take the word of God now in the name of Jesus and to put it into our lives, into our hearts. We ask you to open our minds to understand the scriptures. We ask you to open our hearts so that you can touch them and change us and shape us by the mighty word of truth. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being alive and active in this place today. We welcome you. We worship you. We adore you. We thank you for this kids' weekend, Lord. We pray for all the children, for Carolyn, for all the children's workers. We ask you to supersonically bless them this morning on the last meeting. Fill them with your power and glory. Give them strength and joy and energy. Bless all of our children. Lord, we ask you that all the children amongst us will come to know you really early in their life, and they would follow you and be saved from a lot of the trouble and damage that evil brings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Peter says in this letter, we've coming up to this bit that we covered the other week about faith and how the things we go through, the troubles we go through, actually are not for nothing. They're not because God's abandoned us. They're not because God's left us. But actually, the things we go through and the things we suffer actually have a significant purpose in God's plan for our life. They're not by accident. He says very confidently, this man, Peter, speaking about significant suffering people are going through him. And he says, you know, you greatly rejoice in the fact that God loves you, you're saved, you're going to heaven, you've got an inheritance, that's for sure. And you greatly rejoice in your relationship with God. God's with you, Jesus with you. However, right now in this world and at this moment, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of troubles. And those Greek words are sharp, you know. Grief is a very strong Greek word. It's not like saying, you know, you might have a few inconveniences and you might have a rough week. Oh, it's way beyond that. I mean, that's included for sure, but this is real suffering. You're going through some real suffering. But Peter says, with absolute confidence, he says, oh, let me tell you, these have come so that your faith will become strong and pure, and you'll have tremendous rewards through your faith. That is why you're suffering. Not like there's a great mystery to suffering. We don't know why's and how. No, none of that in the New Testament is very, very clear. He said to the, he didn't say, you know, you might have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials and troubles in your life, and I'm sure God knows what he's doing. And no doubt it'll all work out well in the end. Nothing vague like that. No, very clearly he says to Christians, believers, chosen, people who have surrendered, people who've put their lives in the hands of Jesus, says, oh, for you it's totally different. What you suffer is absolutely known by God, in the control of God. In fact, God's using it. It's using it to change you, to make you like Jesus. How does he know that? Because have you seen his life? Because this is exactly what Peter had been through. Peter had been through all sorts of suffering and trouble and trials and tests to make him like Jesus. When you first see the Apostle Peter, he's not like Jesus. He's a bit of a loudmouth. He's full of himself. He's competitive. He's weak. He's afraid. He's sinful. But when you see him at the back end of his life in the Bible, oh, he's very like Jesus. He's very like Jesus. He raises the dead. His shadow heals people. So that it says in Jerusalem, the Bible says, they bring thousands of people into the squares where Peter just walks, hoping that his shadow might fall on them because it healed whoever it touched. Wow. Who is this guy? Peter was very afraid and ran through one of his tests when a girl said, aren't you with Jesus? No, no. Later he stood up preaching in front of the whole of the nation, totally unafraid of death. He's in prison, they say, you were going to kill you the next day. And he says, fair enough, and goes soundly to sleep. Who is this guy? Peaceful, powerful, full of wisdom. Full of wisdom, read this letter. Full of love. He's very like Jesus. How did he get there? Through trials, temptations, testings. Jesus was working on his life, just like he is on yours. Knowing this helps. It helps. We said last week that faith is connected to gold all the time in the Bible, and the purification of gold and the way that happens. We said last week, you know, God heats it up. They heat up gold, and the impurities come to the surface. They're scratched off, and they're scratched off. And in the end, the person who's heating it can see their face in the gold, and then it's pure gold. That's exactly what God is doing with your life. Exactly. Every test, every trial, everything you suffer is the heat and pressure of God's purpose. Not random accident. God knows exactly what he's doing. He's working on you. He's forming you. And if you were able to step back and see what God was doing in Peter's life, Jesus was working on his life, heating it up, getting rid of the rubbish, heating it up, getting rid of the rubbish, till he's changing. You know, imagine an angel walking past Jesus. What are you doing, Jesus? I'm working on a Peter. I'm doing a Peter here. Oh, what type of Peter is this? Well, I'm upgrading him at the moment. This is the new style Peter. Oh, does he have the raise the dead buttons? Yes. This one has the raise the dead capacity. Does he heal the sick? Totally. Heals all the sick. Is he in hospital? Is he afraid? No, not really. Peace, but knows how to control his fear, and this is the upgraded Peter. I've been working on him for 3 years. Not too long, is it? 3 years, 4 years, 5 or 6, 7 years. Working on him and making him into the person I want him to be. If you surrender your life into the hands of God, that is exactly what will happen to you. Peter went through terrible things, hurtful things, and so must you and we. If you want to follow Jesus, you have to take up your cross and follow Jesus and become like him. And you know what? It hurts sometimes. It's hard. It's not easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus. For instance, when Peter first became a Christian, becoming a Christian is a pretty painful experience, honestly. You can go to church all day long. That's not a painful experience. But if you actually become a real Christian and are born again, that's a painful experience. Because Jesus comes uncomfortably close to you. That's what he did with Peter. First of all, Jesus was just preaching on the land. Peter was in his boat, fairly safe, practically ignoring him. Then Jesus comes closer to him. Can I preach from your boat? I suppose so. Now Jesus is in his boat and Peter's uncomfortable. Jesus is preaching to the crowd so Peter can sort of stand on the side of him and hear the message but still be relatively safe. Maybe that's where you are this morning. You come to church, you're relatively safe. Don't understand everything that's going on here, but I'll just let Jesus, he's a little bit closer than he was. But Jesus never settles for that, does he? Then he turns to Peter, starts dealing with his life, interfering with his job. Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a cat. Oh, now he's involved with Jesus. Now Jesus is doing miracles around him and Peter's breaking good. He faces the fact he's a real sinner. And often you don't know you're a sinner until Jesus comes close to you. And when he comes close to you, you get incredibly uncomfortable and then you realize, I'm a sinner, I need to be saved. But Peter was a very good Jewish man. Do you know that? Very good Jewish man. He kept the law, he went to the synagogue. He was a righteous Jewish man, but that doesn't save you. Coming to Jesus saves you. We know Peter was a righteous man, because later in Acts of the Apostles, when Peter has a vision about food, he says, I'm not eating unclean food. Nothing unclean has ever entered my lips. That's a strict Jew. He was a strict Jew. He was a believer. He was a strict Jew. But being a strict anything won't save you and take you to heaven. Only Jesus saves. And Jesus, in his love for Peter, came into his religious life and his business and melted him. It's very uncomfortable becoming a Christian. And Peter fell on his knees when he saw the miraculous catch of fish and said, Jesus, depart from me. I mean, I don't know where he thinks he would go. He was in his boat. But anyway, back off. I'm a sinful man. Jesus says, Peter, don't worry. I know you are. That's why I'm here. Everything's going to change from this moment. When you acknowledge to Jesus, when you cry out to Jesus, I'm a sinful man. He doesn't back off. He comes nearer. And saves you. And you're born again. Now Peter's born again. And he's got this new exciting call in his life. Jesus called him, leave your fishing nets and boats. Follow me. You're part of my team. Wow, awesome. And Peter's walking with Jesus. He's in with Jesus. All these crowds are following Jesus. Jesus healing the sick, casting out demons, doing amazing miracles. And Peter's on his team, man. He's close to him. And isn't it amazing how quickly you move from being, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinner, to being super proud. And I'm on Jesus' team. Here's his next big trial. Now he's full of himself. He's proud. You'll go through this. If you become a Christian, one minute you're a sinner and broken. Next minute you found Jesus and you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you've got power. And which is wonderful and exalting. But you know what? All your ego exalts itself with it. And you end up a super sonic spiritual person who puts everyone else right and tells everyone what's wrong with the church and what's wrong with them and what's wrong with their life because I am a Christian. And it just happens. You can't help it. But it has to be dealt with. Then that has to be dealt with. So Peter gets too familiar with Jesus, too cocky. And his next trial is, you know, when he gets really rebuked sharply by Jesus. Where he starts to advise Jesus. Oh, don't go to the... One minute he's star of the week. Because he says to Jesus in this passage, Jesus says to the apostles, who do you say I am? And they're all giving different answers. And Peter comes up with a really good answer. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, you have not received that from man, Peter. You've received that from heaven. Peter must have felt awesome. Oh, revelation from heaven. Are any of you guys getting revelation from heaven? No, I have been lately. Yeah, he got direct. Yeah, that's what happens. You get proud. And then you get too cocky, too full of yourself. Oh, I'll tell you what. I'll just sort the leaders out. Oh, I can see what's wrong with this church. The problem with that sermon was, oh, when was the last time you preached? You're welcome. Have a go. Oh, we become experts at putting everyone else right. And it's immaturity, actually. It's It's because you don't know how hard it is. I'll just sort out everyone else because I'm spiritual. So then Jesus, ooh, ow, painfully has to sort you out and bring you down a peg or six. And that's what happened to Peter. And Jesus starts speaking about the cross, and Peter doesn't like it. Dying, dying. No chance. This is just getting good. You're not dying. You're not leaving us. And he starts to advise Jesus. Listen, Jesus, this will never happen to you. Oh, you can feel the punch coming, can't you? Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Oh! You only have in mind the things of men, not of God. Peter felt quite humble for the next few days and kept his big mouth shut. 1 minute, he's, well done, Peter, you've heard that from God. Badly done, Peter, you've heard that from the devil. Ooh! This is Peter, he suffered this. Did that hurt? Did it hurt? It hurt. It hurts to be corrected. You'll never become a disciple without it, I assure you. It hurts to have someone say to you, listen, brother, you're wrong. Especially when you're convinced you're right. You'll never become a real powerful Christian without being humbled and corrected. These are some of the tests you go through. Other things Peter went through were just fear and panic. When he was in the boat one night, there was a massive storm, and it must have been a killer because Peter was a fisherman, but they were terrified, terrified. And Jesus was asleep in his boat. And you might feel like that in your life. Oh my goodness me, I'm facing cancer. Where is Jesus? Oh my goodness me, my husband has just said he's leaving me. Where is Jesus? I can't believe it. Instead of getting the promotion I thought I was going to get, I'm getting less hours and we cannot afford to live in this house. Where is Jesus? He's asleep in the boat. The disciples thought, we're sinking. We're going down. This is the end. We're dead. They were panicking, these fishermen. The storm was so serious and they woke him up. Jesus, wake up. They said what many of us feel. Don't you care? If we drowned, you can easily feel like that. Don't you care, Lord? I'm getting battered here. I thought I was a Christian. I thought you were on my side. Don't you care? Jesus gets up, deals with the issue. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Rebukes the storm and then challenges them. Where is your faith? Why are you afraid? This is about your faith. You're not going to drown. This is a test. This is to encourage your faith. Isn't that what Peter's saying? When you go through trial, this is Peter now. He was on that boat. He heard those words. Now he speaks to you and to every church throughout the age and says, when you go through trials and tests, these have come so that your faith, this is about your faith. This is because God hates me. Oh no, this is because I sinned. No, this is about your faith. God is testing, purifying your faith. It's a challenge. It's a mighty challenge. Yes, go and wake up Jesus. Pray. Cry out. Get to Jesus. See him do a miracle on your behalf. But it's about your faith, actually. That's what matters. And you know, you could, and then there's other times that it's just the devil. You know, you look at Peter's life. Jesus said to him, Peter, I've got some bad news. Satan has asked to have a go at you. And I'm just warning you now, he's been given permission. Wow, imagine hearing that from Jesus. You know Satan? Yeah. Who usually attacks me? Yeah. Apparently he's got your name from somewhere, Peter. And he's coming for you. But I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith will not fail this test. I've prayed for you. It's going to be a hard one, this one, Peter. But I've prayed for you. Isn't it nice getting people to pray for you? Pray for each other, won't you? Please pray for me. Pray for Margaret. Pray for the leaders. Pray for each other as we face Satan. Pray for each other. Apostle Paul said to people, Apostle Paul's awesome, man. He's flying up there. He says to everyone in every letter, pray for me. Why? Because it's powerful. It works. Pray for me. Prayer matters. Jesus said to Peter, I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you've repented again, strengthen your brothers. Peter was a leader. He had the ability to lead the other disciples. That was a gift anointing on him. But he had to go through tests. He had to go through terrible tests. And you know what that test looked like? Satan came in the form of a little girl. Oh, he's not daft, is he? Very subtle. And at Peter's panicking, lowest moment, when Jesus is on trial, it's all hell's let loose and everything's everywhere. And where are the disciples? What's happening? And Peter wants to stay with Jesus. Of course, he wants to stay with Jesus, but that's not enough. A few hours before, in the Last Supper, Jesus had warned them, listen, you're all going to be scattered to the wind. Don't worry. Have peace. You're going to leave me alone. Don't worry. I'm not alone. The Father's with me. Holy Spirit's with me. I'm not alone. Peter, in zeal and love for Jesus, God bless him, he really believed it when he said it. Of course he did. Jesus, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. Maybe you've made fantastic promises to God. Right, that's it. I'm going to read the whole Bible this weekend. I'm never, ever going to sin like that again. You come to the front of church. I promise you, God, I promise. But God has to show you that your promises mean nothing without the awesome power of God. Who prophesied it today? Was it Rebecca or someone? Ian. Without the... James prophesied it. Thank you. The Apostle James. With the awesome power of God can keep you from sin. Yes. Can draw you into wanting to read your Bible. Yes, Beck? But determination, human determination. But you know what? It's all right me telling you it. You've got to learn it. You've got to suffer it. I do that with the leaders, you know. I tell you, I try and save them from as much as I can, but I can't save them from God. I like to save them from as much. Because there's two ways of learning, isn't there? One way is listen to the wisdom and advice of those who've gone ahead of you and learn from their mistakes. I try and help them to learn from my mistakes. But I can't save them from God. And sometimes I see them going through something, I think, oh yeah, this is God. I'll pray for you, bro. That's it. I can't deliver you from life. I'm not meant to. Because in your trouble, God is shaping you. God is forming you to be a man or a woman of God. And there's two ways of learning. One way is to, you know, learn as much as you can from wisdom. Yeah, wise. A wise man listens, the Bible says. The fool keeps going and suffers for it. So be wise. Listen to each other. Listen to those who've been Christians longer. Listen to those who've been through things, suffered things. Learn. Learn from each other. But at the end of the day, some things you'll have to learn through experience. You've got to jump out of the plane with the parachute on your back yourself. No matter how many simulators you've sat in. And videos you've watched. But there is two ways of learning. You can learn a lot from wisdom and then just go through the things you have to. And then the little girl comes to Peter when he's at his weakest and says, around that fire with all the guards there, you were with Jesus, weren't you? But behind that little voice is Satan himself with mighty panic and fear. It enters his heart and he totally, publicly denies Jesus. It must have been terrible for Peter. I don't know him. And swearing and cursing. I'm effing telling you all. I don't effing know him. And he walks off and gets in the dark. And it says he's walking off. Jesus, he must have been within sight. Turns. Looks at him. All right, Peter.
Oh, talk about hurt. He's down and he might be out. Let's count. One, he's still down. Two, he's still down. Thank you for praying for him, Jesus. Three, he's still down. He was broken. Went outside and wept. His whole identity, the ground of who he thought he was, everything was gone.
You can go through some terrible things, brothers and sisters, as a Christian. Honestly, you can think, I've utterly destroyed my life. I've destroyed my marriage. I've destroyed everything. Can you recover from that?
Yes, you can. Through the mighty power of God and the grace of Jesus.
Can I recover from that and do well? Oh, you can recover from that and fly. That's the amazing thing. Peter was restored to Jesus after this. You'll have to read it yourself. They had reconciliation, healing, and Peter was filled with, and then Peter becomes the Jesus version of Peter.
I want to be the Jesus version of Martin Riddick, don't you?
Oh, no, don't you? I mean, you don't, do you? But don't you want to be the Jesus version of you?
The person who God really created you to be. The loving, patient, bold, fearless, strong. Happy to live, happy to die. Happy to serve. Happy to speak, happy to step in. Happy to do the miracle, happy to not. Just obeying the Lord, enjoying the Father every day, the abundant life. Happy to receive a load of money, happy to give it all away. Untouched, just buzzing with God. That's the life. That's the best life. That's the life God has for you. It's true. And let me just end by saying this. When you go through trials and suffering, keep three things in mind. One thing is God's sovereignty. In other words, ultimately, he's in charge and he knows best. Try and remember that. It's very difficult to remember that when something terrible happens, because often the bad things that happen to you in your life are real evil. They're real evil. They're not like just a little simulation by God to make you nicer. They come from the sin and wickedness of other people. You might have been abused. You might have been absolutely horrific things that God is not at all happy with or giving permission for. But in he's the truth. But in the sovereignty of God, he uses even the evil that comes against you for your good in the end. He can do that. He's that clever. He's that powerful. He's that much in charge. Letting man have his free will without interfering. That's the amazing thing. Letting there be evil in the world for those who choose evil. He can still bring good out of it for you if you trust him and surrender it all to him. That's the whole message of the book of Job. Evil, terrible things happened to Job, but God made it work for him and turned it all round in the end because he can do that. God can do that. There's two ways to train. If you were an army unit and we needed to get you in shape, and you had to do a forced march for 20 miles. And I knew, they've got to do a forced march of 20 miles or they won't be fighting fit for service. There's two ways to do it. One is, let's organise, at some point, a forced march for 20 miles, and then we'll be fighting fit. That's one way, isn't it? There's another way. 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, the enemy have invaded! They're 20 miles away! Move! Both achieve it, don't they? Both achieve it. God has a plan for your life. In that plan, there are some tests and trials to shape you, form you, develop you. In the meantime, evil things that God has not planned can come across your path. When they do, fear not. God is bigger. God is bigger than anything. And he can use that. Right, you don't need to do the forced march. Why? Because you were forced to march then, and that was a real attack. But we'll use that. If you keep trusting me, keep looking up, then we'll use it for your good. Keep in mind God's sovereignty. Keep in mind the end. Keep the end in sight. That's the point. And then you can have the attitude of the three young men in the fire.
when they were persecuted and said, and deny the faith or we'll throw you in the fire, from the book of Daniel. Young men with all their life ahead of them, think of it, deny the faith, bow down to this idol now or be thrown alive into this fire. They had a tremendous understanding of the sovereignty and power and almighty power of God. They said this, they said, the God we serve is able to save us from it. But, oh, well done, guys, for getting to that but. But even if he doesn't, we're still not bowing down to your idol. Yes, they win the golden bonus prize. God could save them from the fire. God can heal you of cancer. Many people get healed of cancer. Or, like Russell, he can decide that he's going to take you to himself. That's up to him. That's up to him. He can do either. But he's always right. And he's always good. And in the end of the end, which we're not at yet, are we? We'll see that it was all done absolutely perfectly in wisdom and love and righteousness. And we'll just be full of praise for God. He knows what he's doing in the end. And in that fire, they threw those young men in the fire. But in the fire, were they alone? No. When they looked in the fire, there's four men in the fire. Didn't we throw three men in the fire? Oh, yeah. Well, why is there four men in the fire? Because the other man in the fire is called Jesus Christ, who says to all of us, when you walk through the flames, I will be with you. When you cross the rivers, the river of death, I will cross with you. The flames won't hurt you. The river won't drown you, because I will never leave you. I'm with you in the fire. That is our Jesus. He can be with you in the fire. He can save you from the fire. That's up to him. We need to trust him. If you trust him, your faith is growing strong, 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 and it has tremendous rewards, your faith. Keep the sovereignty of God in mind. Keep the end in sight. And keep, lastly, keep the reward in sight. There is a reward for your faith, for this Christian life. There is. Peter says, these things have happened to you so that your faith, which is worth much more than gold, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So when you come to the end of your days, or Jesus comes back, whichever happens first, as you've been keeping trusting, keeping going, keeping get up, and sometimes you feel like you failed and you haven't. Sometimes you feel like, I failed the test, I'm rubbish. No, actually, you have just keeping going is the success. That's it. You know, sorry, it's nearly 10 past 12. Can I keep going a minute? Corrie Ten Boom was fantastic, a woman evangelist. You know her story of her life, many of you. She was preaching once in Tasmania. And when she finished, she jumped in a little plane and was flying across to Australia. Into the night, they flew up into the dark sky. She fell asleep, but about 10 minutes later, she woke up with a smell of smoke in the cabin and movement in the cabin. One of the engines was on fire. And everyone was really fearful, and they said, we're going to bring the plane down now. You know, it's, you know, the crash land. And it was, you know, could have been the end. She prayed, trusted the Lord. The plane came down, and it landed safely. And then when she got into the place waiting with all the passengers for the next plane, she came under terrible condemnation. She thought, I meant to be an evangelist. That plane was coming down, and I never said a word to anyone. I'm sorry, Lord. I totally failed the test. I should have stood up and preached. She was 80-odd-year-old. She said, I should have stood up and said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Believe in Jesus now. She said, but I didn't. I didn't have the guts. I didn't dare. All I could think about was being ready to go to you myself. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm a rubbish. I'm a failed evangelist. I'm a failed evangelist. While she was thinking that, someone came up to her and shook her. A Jewish man who was on the plane. He said, excuse me, can I speak to you? He said, I want to talk to you about who you are, because when that plane was going down, everyone was panicking for their life, including me. Everyone except you. You had peace. you had no fear. What have you got that enables you, old lady, to face death without fear? She said, I'm glad you asked. Thank you, Lord. His name is Jesus. And she witnessed and brought this Jewish man to Jesus. Is that awesome? You've never failed. It'll result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Praise. I bet you don't think of yourself getting praise, do you? No, neither do I. When I look at you, I think, oh, no praise. Maybe me, but no. but praise, I mean, praise goes that way, doesn't it? Oh, not according to the New Testament. When Jesus comes back, he'll have some praise for you. Well done, Margaret. Well done, Margaret. Come here. Breaking Bad. That was excellent. You know. Well done, son. Well done, daughter. You kept going. You kept believing. Come in. Well done. That's praise from Jesus. Wow. Kind of hard to even imagine it, but it's on offer. Glory is an interesting word. It means the weight of God's blessing and presence. That's what it means, glory. Amazing. You'll have the heavy end of his joy and blessing and honor. Honor means respect, dignity, badge of the Lord. Christians who live the life and keep going, endure, don't give up, keep going, at the end of their life, they get the respect of God. Wow, that is an amazing thing. God doesn't ask you to do everything. He only asks you to live your life with Jesus, keeping getting up, keeping repenting, keeping going. Amen. We're done.